All right. Lots of good stuff going on. Really excited about the Sunday sessions that we're doing starting tonight. We have some people from our church that have really put a lot of time into that. And our whole heart in offering these sessions to you is there's just some topics that we would love to dive into a little deeper than what we can do on a Sunday morning. And I think you're going to be really blessed. Just to clear up any confusion, these are two different sessions. You have to choose one or the other over these next 3 weeks. But I think you're going to find, for those of you that are married or maybe wanting to be married, I think you're going to find value, real value in that session, no matter what state your marriage is in, whether you're rocking it or on the rocks. I think God will help us and strengthen us with that. I know Lyle and Darlene are sharing their story tonight in the wellness session. I've heard that story. It's powerful. I know that it would encourage many of you. So there are some great opportunities there. Really just wanted to push that tonight. Also, I just want to celebrate something. Many of you know that I've been gone to Uganda, and we did some gospel festivals this last week in Uganda. I'm not going to tell you any of those stories today, maybe next Sunday. We did have an amazing time, and probably one of the most profitable trips that we've ever had, I think. But we also had another event happening here at Harvest City, right here in Regina this week, that I think is worth celebrating. We had our family fun night carnival put on by Kathy and Hope and their team. And Kathy tells me that we had over 20 volunteers helping with that. Normally we have between 150 to 180 people show up for that. This past week we had 315, which is exciting. And the real exciting part is that we had many from our community come out to be a part of that as well. And so, of course, our heart as a church is to just saturate the city with the love of God and build bridges where we can share the hope of Jesus to people. And so this was a real bridge-building event. And so I just want to thank all of those who participated in that. We have another event coming up for Christmas time. So if you want to volunteer and be a part of that, I know they would love to have your help with that. I should just tell you that Anatoly is in Nepal right now. I texted with him this morning. He's literally out in the middle of nowhere on some mountain in the Himalayas. The pastors are coming down to meet with them out of the mountains, and it's been real profitable. He did step off of a curb here yesterday and sprained his ankle really badly, so he's limping around, so you can pray for him. And we do have our team in Mexico as well that's got one more day tomorrow of serving. Sounds like they're having a great time as well. So God is doing great things. One of the things that I'm excited about today is that we have Claire Apenu to share the word of God with us. Claire is from Uganda. Claire, it was so fun to, some of my Ugandan friends are like, who's preaching for you while you're gone? And I said, well, we have had a couple Ugandans that are preaching. They were quite excited about that. So I'm sure we got some extra tuning in from your homeland this morning to hear what you have to say. But why don't you come on up, Claire? So great to have you and Brian in our church. There's going to be two people on the stage today, but only one is going to be speaking.
Thank you.
The other's along for the ride.
Thank you so much.
Bless you, Claire.
Amen. Hi, everyone. You know, Pastor Dave came up to me and asked that, are you pregnant with the word of God? And yes, I am. Among other things, I'm also pregnant with the word of God. And I'm so excited to share with you. It's always an honor to stand before people of God and just share from my heart and what God has placed on my heart. So let's pray as I start. Jesus, we thank you that you are good. And every song we've sung has been about how good you are, how almighty you are, Jesus, how strong you are, how great you are, Lord. So we just even stop and meditate on your greatness, because there's none like you. Just taking time right now to just ask you to send your Holy Spirit to speak to us. It's not by might or by power, but by your Holy Spirit that your word goes forth and there's a difference in the lives of men and women. So we ask you to just be with us even as I share. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last week, we started a sermon series on migrations. And it was such a humorous and beautiful message. And Jason shared it so well. He explained that migrations can be messy, but they are part of life. And everyone goes through some sort of migration. What I found humorous was the picture of the rock. I don't know if you remember that. But not the rock that Jacob slept on. There was some other kind of rock. But I just found, you know, it was such a very, 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 very encouraging message. But he also talked about Abraham, about Isaac and Jacob, and how each one of them had a unique migration. And every one of them had to be challenged in their walk of faith. So I'd like to pick up the story from there and continue on this series of migrations. So 430 years later, after Joseph, God sent Moses to rescue the Israelites. And he, through 10 miraculous signs, Pharaoh was defeated. And it was such a powerful display of God's power. So they get to the edge of the promised land. And God gives them a specific commandment to inherit the land. He says, and I'll read from Deuteronomy. The Lord your God said to us at Horeb, you have stayed long enough on this mountain. Break camp and advance into the hill country of the Amorites. Go to the neighboring peoples in the Arabah, in the mountains, in the western foothills, in the Negev, and along the coast to the land of the Canaanites, to Lebanon, as far as the great river, the Euphrates. See, I have given you this land. Go in and take possession of the land the Lord swore he would give to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, and their descendants after them. There was a vastness of land, and there was the command was so clear, go in and inherit the land. However, there was a problem. There was so much fear. And he was telling them that there's this stronghold, there's a mountain, and you've been too long on this mountain, it's time for you to move on. Now, in this life, we face so many mountains and so many strongholds and so many things that stop us from moving into what God wants us to move into. And as much as those strongholds exist, God wants us to move into what he wants us to move into. God wants us to live a full life. And today, I just want us to talk about the mountain of fear. Sometimes we're just so afraid, and the need for us to move from the mountain of fear to move into faith. Now, I don't know, but I know each one of us has had fears in their lives. You've confronted one fear or the other. So just think about the fear. Have you ever had a fear that has shaken you up in your life? Sometimes it's not even something you can put your finger on, but you're so anxious and you're wondering, why am I so anxious? The enemy hits us with fear. This week, I actually battled with fear at the beginning of the week. And I think God was just reminding me that we are all on this walk and fear will hit us anytime. But God calls us to move from fear to faith. And that's what I want to talk about. The move from fear to faith. So before taking possession of the land, 12 spies were sent out. Now when they were sent out, they were told, go spy the land so that we know what we are walking into. So after 40 days, the 12 spies came back and they said, the land is fruitful. It's full of milk and honey. It's so good. And they even had giant grapes to prove it. The grapes were so heavy that a cluster had to be carried by two men. That's how fruitful the land was. And they were at the edge of the promise. It's time to go in. Now, there was a problem. 10 of them had a bat. They said, but there are giants in the land. These giants are going to devour us. These giants are going to eat us up. And as much as two of them, Joshua and Caleb, started speaking faith and saying, no, we can go in and possess the land. The ten were like, we can't do it. These giants are going to devour us. So it made the whole congregation, everyone who was around, shy away from the promise God gave them. So this is what they said. Where are we going anyway? Our own men have discouraged us by saying, the people are taller and stronger than we. The cities are big with sky-high walls. We even saw the people of Anak there. So Moses urged them. Moses told them, remember the Lord rescued you from Egypt. Remember the Lord did miraculous signs amongst you. Trust in him. Remember the Lord carried you like us, a father carries the son. Trust in him. They still hesitated. And that's the sad thing about it, because they were just about to get there. God had told them, that's yours. He had promised their forefathers. And the thing about it is that the spies were not actually lying. There were spies in, there were giants in the land. And these giants were huge. And they had seen them with their own eyes. But the difference between them and Joshua and Caleb is that Joshua and Caleb chose to see beyond the physical. They chose to look with eyes of faith, and they said, no matter what, we have Yahweh on our side. He has fought our battles. Yahweh has been with us, and these giants are grasshoppers in the presence of the Almighty God. And that's what I want to encourage us. Whatever fear we have, it's just a tiny grasshopper in the presence of the Almighty God. So this is, so, amen. So Caleb stands up and says, we should go and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. They walked in faith. They walked in assurance that God was going to do a mighty thing. Now, Hebrews tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. We don't see it, we do not perceive it, but we know at the back of our mind it will happen, because it's not about us. Yes. It's about God and the God behind us. So that's the thing about faith. And kingdom language is very different from all the other languages. A couple of weeks back, both Anatoly and Rachel Hickson talked about a new word, which is not English, but it's the perfect word, called one anothering. And it was talking about the fellowship we have with one another. It will never make any dictionary, but it's a word that explains to us what it means to have fellowship. I'd like us to have another kingdom lesson. The opposite of fear isn't bravery. The opposite of fear is faith. It is stepping out into what God has called you to step out in. And it is moving into that confidence that God is with you, trusting that God has your back no matter what you're going through. That's the opposite. So I did a Google search, and there are over 500 phobias on the phobia list. And there are social phobias, there are internal phobias, environmental phobias. And one that I found interesting is phobophobia, which is the fear of fear. So there are all these kinds of fears that are made up, but we face so many fears today, and they hold us back. And from the story of the 12 spies, there are so many fears we can identify with. They feared death, they feared failure, they feared man, they feared for the future, they feared for the unknown, they probably feared for their children. Now, I also heard that amongst us, there are people who fear bats, and it's a real, real fear. It's a fear, it's, I don't know. I won't name names. And I'm glad they're married and they have wives that help chase the bats. But you know, fear is real. Fear is real. And this is an article from the Business Insider that was published on Friday. And I just came, I wasn't even looking for it, but it was just amazing that it just popped up when I was just scrolling the news. And this was a father expressing his fear. My daughter is excited to go to college and wants to live in the dorms. I told her I want her to live at home because I was worried, but she refused. We've been fighting about this issue a lot, but I'm trying to let go of my fear. That's a real fear, letting your child go miles and miles away. And the article goes on to say he's been in the dorms and he lived a reckless life. And he was saying, I want to turn my garage into a very good furnished place for my daughter to stay, but my daughter wants to go. And fears, you feel like a fear is legitimate. And it's true because you struggle with so many things. But the thing about fear is that it stops us from living our lives for God's glory. It stops us from boldly just going into the promise, and the promise is living our lives to the fullest once we're in Christ Jesus. So I just want us to go back to what the origin of fear is. Where did it come from? We can trace it back in Genesis 3. Adam and Eve sinned. Before that, they had a lovely relationship with the Heavenly Father. He would commune with them. He even allowed them to name all these different animals. And there was this connection. But when sin entered the world, fear entered the world. And they hid from God. And in Genesis 3, it says, but the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I had you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. And we see that man is afraid from then on. We see Gideon. Gideon was hiding from the Midianites in a wine press, also scared, until the angel of the Lord came and called him out and told him, you are a brave and mighty warrior. Stand up and go do your purpose. Then we see the story of the Israelite army. The Israelite army was shaking. This is the chosen nation, shaking because Goliath was challenging them. And for 40 days, Goliath rubbed it in. It was only one brave, mighty warrior, a very young man called David, who stood up and told Goliath, who are you to defy the armies of the living God? And he stood up and he defeated Goliath because he was different from the rest. He knew that he had faith in the living God. But also in the New Testament, we see there was fear after Jesus died. The book of John tells us, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, the doors were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Now, these guys had been hanging out with Jesus. They had seen him do so many miracles. He had sent them out and they came back and they said, the same miracles you've done, we've done. We've seen the sick healed. We've seen demons flee. And they had also seen Jesus stand up against the rulers of his day. But right now, Jesus had died. And they were so uncertain of the future that they were so scared because their champion had gone away and they were wondering what next. And that's the thing about fear. It paralyzes us. We don't move on. And you see, the Bible says that they were shut in. So fear shuts us in. And God saved us to send us out to be an influence in this world. This life is not about us. It's about the glory of God. Every person who knows Jesus, you're called to be sent out and tell everyone else about Jesus. But then fear paralyzes us and we cannot do anything. And it stops us from living our full lives. So when we are hit by challenges, the enemy will whisper, we are not good enough. The enemy will tell us we'll never make it, or God is distant, or he's inexistent. And all these things start coming into our minds and our hearts, and we are so fearful. But I want to encourage us that it's important for us to move in faith. When I first shared here, maybe last year, I was really, really shaking. And I was just so confused about what I was going to say. And just before I came up, Pastor Dave came up to me and he asked me how I was feeling. And I was like, I'm shaking. I don't know if I can do this. And then he told me, you know what? Go out there and intimidate your intimidator. And that really encouraged me. I was like, yeah, I can go out there and intimidate my intimidator. It gave me such confidence. And I just want to tell us that the enemy, the devil, is our intimidator. He will whisper lies. He will tell us things and we will believe them because his voice seems so loud. And he's using all these weapons. And then we don't live out our full life. And the thing is that we cannot conquer fear through a book we will read or a pep talk or a 10-point step program to conquer fear. The only way we can conquer fear is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's only by the Holy Spirit. We can't do it any other way. He's our helper. He's our guide. He's our counselor. And Jesus knew that. Jesus understood that unless the Holy Spirit came, these guys would not do what they were called to do. So he told them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. In Acts 1, it tells us, on one occasion, as he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. Jesus was telling them, sit tight, do nothing until the Holy Spirit comes. How many times do we go ahead and do things without the Holy Spirit helping us? But once we sit tight and wait for him to move in our lives, that's what he was literally saying, wait for the Holy Spirit. So after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit freed all those guys from fear. There are 120 in a room, in an upper room, and they waited on the Holy Spirit for 10 days. And when he came, he filled them, and they were filled with the power of God. The men who and women who left that room 10 days later were very, very different from the women who had men and women who had entered it. They were the same on the outside, but on the inside, they were filled with the power of God. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Spirit did to them. And the once timid Peter, very, very timid, preached the word of God in one day, on that day. And people were cut to the heart. And they said, what must we do to get born again? What must we do? And 3,000 people came to God in one day. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the difference when the Holy Spirit is in our lives. Then Peter and John were later arrested. And the same leaders they were hiding from started threatening them. And they boldly declared, you know what? We would rather listen to God than listen to man. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Apart from John, every one of the 12 of the other apostles was killed, was martyred, because they were willing to lay down their lives and they were fearless because of the Holy Spirit. So I just want to encourage you that you have a resource. Once you're in Christ Jesus, you have a resource in the Holy Spirit, and he's with you, and he calls you to live a fearless life. The Greek word for Holy Spirit is paraclete. And paraclete means the one who walks alongside me. And I like that. Holy Spirit is walking alongside me in this life. It doesn't matter if I'm at work, I'm with my family, I am going through a thing. The Holy Spirit is walking with me. Paraclete, always walking with me. And he's telling me you can move from fear to faith. You can trust me. And we overcome every fear. All the fears I listed, the fear of the unknown, the fear of death, the fear of the future, whatever fear. And the only way he helps us overcome that fear is he guides us in truth. The Holy Spirit tells us the truth about God. The thing about fear is that it's rooted in the fact that we don't trust God. That's what the Israelites were going through. They did not trust that God was able to help them fight the giants. But the spirit of truth comes and starts revealing that God is your enabler. God is your protector. God is your father. God is your comforter. Whatever you need, God is to you. So John tells us, but when he, the spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is to come. Truth is having the right view of God. A story is told, and I don't know if you know, a man called Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth was greatly used by God. He through him, God healed the sick, raised the dead. He was a man of great influence in his day. But he tells a story that one night he was sleeping. And as he was sleeping, he kind of just felt an evil presence in his bedroom. And he just woke up and he was face to face with a demonic presence. And you know what Wigglesworth did? He said, "Oh, it's only you." And Smith just turned back and slept.
Hallelujah.
Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing when we just look at the enemy and say, "Oh, it's only you"? Anxiety, it's only you. Let me turn back into the arms of Jesus. Isn't that amazing when we face whatever fear we have and we say, "It's only you. You are nothing. You are a grasshopper. My God is the Almighty God." We've sung about the Almighty God right now. We have sung about how God is so big. We have sung about the God of all glory. And guys, if we open our eyes to see how great our God is and how small the enemy is, he's just a grasshopper in the presence of the King of Kings, the Lord of Hosts, the God of angel armies. We would not be afraid to do what God has called us to do. We would not sit back and not tell our neighbor about Jesus, our colleagues about Jesus, our families about Jesus. Because we know who we are in Jesus. And I just want to tell us today that our God is big. And it's just only the devil. The Bible tells us in Romans that the God of peace shall soon crush Satan under your feet. Satan is already under our feet, guys. He's already under our feet. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. I don't even know where this is coming from. But I'm just telling you right now, we need to rise up, guys. We need to rise up in this generation and say the enemy will not take his place in Jesus' name. So when the enemy says you can't make it, the spirit of truth will whisper you're more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Because that's who you are. When the enemy tells you that you don't know what's happening, there's the fear of the unknown, the Spirit of God will whisper, "I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you. Plans to give you a hope and a future." So instead of shying away from the gospel, we shall go and tell our family about Jesus. We shall go and tell our colleagues about Jesus. We shall go and tell our friends about Jesus. We will not be afraid. We will not be stuck in our houses enjoying Jesus on our own because God is sending us out. No more fear, guys. Let's just rise up. And when you're faced with loneliness and disease, and that's a tough thing, whether it's you or someone you know, may you remember that God will never leave us or forsake us. That's what the Spirit of Truth tells us. And even when we are faced with death, the Spirit of Truth reminds us that even when we die, we're just changing address. Once you're in Christ Jesus, we're just going to heaven. We're just going to glory. We're just going to see Jesus, and he has a crown waiting for us. So whatever fear the enemy is shaking you with today, I just want to remind you, I just want to encourage you that the Spirit of Truth will counter that fear with a promise from the Word of God. And I just want to tell us, let's rise up. Let's rise up, and whatever the enemy hits at us, we hit back at him by saying, "Jesus is my Lord. The Spirit is my paraclete. I walk with him. And because of that, I am confident in who God has called me to be." So I just want to share three ways in how we can let the Spirit work in us. The Bible says we need to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. meaning the Spirit of God is always moving, doing a new thing, wanting to do something in our lives that has never been done before, because we are uniquely created for a purpose. So one of the things that we need to do is to prioritize prayer. Prayer is a very, very powerful weapon to combat fear. When Peter and John were arrested and released, the believers convened together to pray. And this is how they prayed. Lord, now consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. After they prayed, the place they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Their prayer was not take away the persecution. Isn't that amazing? Their prayer was fill us with boldness. We will die. Peter had even gotten a prophecy from Jesus that he was going to die. So he knew he was going to die for the Lord. They knew they were going to die. But they knew that for whatever time they had, they needed boldness to preach the word of God. And soon enough, they were so persecuted that they were sent out to different places in the world. And they preached the word of God. But they got their strength from prioritizing prayer. And the thing is that you don't need to shut yourself in a room to pray. If you're faced with fear, wherever you are, you can just ask, Holy Spirit, help me. Whether you're at work, you can just pray under your breath and say, Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, alleviate this fear. The second thing I want us to talk about is we need to spend time in the Word of God. Now, the Word of God says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If we don't spend time in the word of God, we will not know the truth of God. We will not know the promises of God. We will not know how to combat fear. And I don't know how many times, instead of spending time in the word of God, I find myself fueling my fears through social media. And it's not just me. And it's just the news. And it's a reel. It's one thing and another. But God calls us to spend time in the word of God. And the Spirit of God is the author of the Bible. Men spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So everything you see in the word of God, the Spirit is the author. But he's not only the author, he's also the interpreter of what you're reading. So you're in good company with the Holy Spirit. He will teach you. He will teach you how to counter every fear and every lie of the enemy. So spend time in the word of God intentionally. Maybe get 5 minutes a day. There's so many apps. There's so many Bible studies out there. But prioritize the word of God, because the word of God is the sword of the Spirit. So if it's the sword of the Spirit, every time the enemy is hitting me, I have this sword and I am saying, no, I know who I am. I know whose I am. I know who I belong to. So I'm not going to be intimidated, because I know that it's the truth of God. Finally, commune with others. Now, the thing about fear is, yes, it paralyzes us, but it also isolates us. And we don't want to do anything. We are so scared. And I love the fact that when I can't make it here, I can watch Harvest City online. It's great. It's so great that even when I had Andrew, I could actually know that I can watch as I was healing, and then I decided to come back to commune with others. But as much as that is there, I just want to encourage you, even if you're online right now, it cannot replace the meeting together of brothers and sisters, the fellowship together. So it's good to commune with others. The author of Hebrews tells us, not giving up the habit of meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. It's so important to commune together. As Paul ends his epistle in 2 Corinthians, he says, may the grace of God, our Father, the love of Jesus, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us. So the Holy Spirit brings fellowship, so that we are together and we commune with one another. when I had just had Andrew, I was so fearful. I feared that something was going to happen to him. And I'd never been so afraid in my life. And Brian had shift work. So he was working at night and I had to just stay at, you know, at home in the night. And the fear intensified and I was getting all these panic attacks. I was so, so scared. I'd never been like that ever in my life. So I didn't know, but unknowingly, I opened a door for the enemy to attack me through nightmares. So night after night, for around maybe 3 months, I constantly had nightmare after nightmare, something shaking me up. And I could wake up with cold sweats, and I was so, so scared. But I have a group of people I pray with on a regular basis. So we were on a Zoom call and we were praying. And I told them, you know, I'm struggling with fear. I don't know where it has come from, but I'm really, really panicking. And they prayed with me. They prayed with me for months. And I was still shaking and I was still shaken by all these attacks. And I started feeling like I was bugging them. Like, I have asked you again and again to pray for me, but I'm still getting these attacks in the night. But they kept saying, we will pray with you. And they kept praying with me. So one day, one of them just prayed, you know what, let's believe God. Let's take around 10 minutes off and just pray for you that whatever door was opened will be shut. And they prayed. And they prayed for me. You know, it was just two of them on the group call that day with me. And they prayed for me that the door would be shut. And immediately, from that night on, I didn't have attacks. I didn't have the constant attacks I was having. And that's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. People coming together, knowing that you're coming to a safe place, knowing that you're coming to a place where you can be, someone can stand with you and pray with you and love on you. And you know they won't judge you and you have a safe place to go. So I just want to encourage you to have that safe place. And Harvest City is a safe place. It's a safe place for us to come, be with the body of Christ, for us to come for the evening sessions for the next 3 weeks and have fellowship together as we talk about life and as we talk about marriage, for us to be able to meet together and just pray. Don't be in a rush to always leave. Maybe you need a leader to pray with you over something. The fellowship of the Holy Spirit is important. Even just having coffee and meeting someone you've never met and going out to talk to someone you've never talked to. Maybe you see they're standing on their own and they're new. That's the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Us working together as the body because God desires that the body interacts. So as I conclude today, I just want to say that Jesus saves us where we are. Wherever you are, he calls you. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter your past. He calls you. But he never wants you to stay the same. He wants you to move into the promises that he has for you. He wants you to trust him. He wants you to live a full life. And I want us to pray. And even before I'm going to just ask you to talk to your God, but I just want to explain something because sometimes we don't know the reality of what is happening. As real as your neighbor is, there's another reality here. There are angels all around this place. There are angels here ready to release the power of God and cut chains of fear. Now, there's a guy in the Bible called Gehazi. And Gehazi was so scared because an army came to attack his master Elijah. And Elijah was so at peace. And you know what Elijah prayed? He said, open his eyes, God, so that he can see. He can see. He sees a physical army, but there is another army. And God opened Gehazi's eyes and there were chariots of fire around the hill surrounding these two men. And just because of one man's faith. Now I just want to tell, even as you pray right now, and I'm going to ask someone to just come up on the keys. Even as you pray right now, I just want you to know that there are angels here releasing us from fear. They are angels assigned to you. The Bible says they are ministering spirits. They are sent to minister to us. So I just want you right now to pray against any fear. Whatever fear you're facing, just talk to God right now. Just lay it at the feet of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that when your Holy Spirit comes, he shakes everything. He shakes strongholds. There was a shaking in the book of Acts when people prayed, when they asked you for boldness. I know there is a shaking right now amongst the people of God right here and those online, because wherever they are angels and chariots of fire surrounding them, breaking all sorts of fear, breaking every bondage, breaking anxiety. So I declare a freedom for your people, Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus. The chains are breaking in the name of Jesus, right now, in the name of Jesus. That boldness to live for you, Jesus. The boldness to live for you in every single aspect of their lives is being given to them. In the name of Jesus, that the power of God is filling them right now. In Jesus' name, amen. And before we close, I'd like us to pray. If you're here and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, I'd like you to say a prayer with me. Just repeat this after me. Because once you do that, you will be transferred from darkness to light, and you will have the Holy Spirit with you. So if you're there and you do not know Jesus, I'd just like you to pray this after me, and let's all pray that together. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have great plans for me. So I ask you right now to come into my life, to be my Lord and my Savior. I surrender to you. I repent of my sin, and I ask you to be my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Why don't you stand to your feet? Thank you so much, Claire. You're a dynamo. I was attacked by a bat in Uganda. That's a true story.
Oh. Oh.
I had a frog underneath my toilet seat. I lifted it up and went, oh my goodness. Tried kicking it into the bowl and it jumped up onto the wall. Uncle Moses rescued me from the frog. I'm getting over the... I'm telling you, the enemy's after me. But I'm learning how to face these fears. In Jesus' name. I caught the second frog by myself, I'll have you know. Bless you, church. Have a great week. I look forward to sharing the Word of God with you next week. Don't forget about tonight. We've got some great sessions here. Awesome.
Well, that brings us to the end of our time together. We hope that you found insight and had moments that spoke to you right where you needed it. Before you go, share the love and post this inspiring video to your page. Who knows how many lives could be impacted by it? And if you aren't already, like, follow, and turn on your social media notifications to keep up to date on all the exciting things happening at our church. Here at Harvest City, we're all about connecting with our community and celebrating those big moments. Like if you've recently decided to fully dedicate your life to Jesus. We'll be your cheerleaders and help you take those first steps. And if you're going through a tough season, let us know how we can help you. Plus, we've got tons of programs for kids, youth, and adults if you're looking for a new community to be part of. To send us a message or check out more about HCC, head over to our website, harvestcity.ca. To all of our financial partners, thank you for investing into the kingdom of God. Your generosity allows us to keep doing what we're called to do and reach even more people. If you're interested in contributing, please visit harvestcity.ca/giving for more info. Thanks for being here. Keep living your call, and we'll catch you again soon.